You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
All right, so you gotta tell me what to do in this situation. You've just got out of jail for turning someone into goo. You try to get back into the real world, but they keep dragging you back in with drugs and gangsters. You just smack somebody in the face with a hammer. So in this situation, what color do you paint the pub? Because I was thinking like a fuchsia, you know, give it a nice homey feel.
I think lavender would be good.
Lavender, give a nice calm exterior. These are some of the tough moral quandaries that come up in Villain, which is kind of a crime, gangster, everybody's from London or around about, so yeah, everybody has a nice accent, but I won't be going through it alone. I am Mindy. With me, I have Adrian.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Luane.
Hey, how's it going?
So, do either of you want to go into the plot of this film?
Sure, I can. It's fairly straightforward. Eddie Franks just got out of prison, and he's a bad guy, no question.
He is a villain.
He is the titular villain. And he tries to resume his normal life, reconnect with everybody, you know how that usually goes in most of these movies. And he finds out, of course, his younger stupid brother is in trouble with the local gangster, and he has to deal with that. All while trying to reconnect with his family and reestablish his business and sort of reacclimate to being in the real world again. And it doesn't work out.
Not quite. Just wondering if there's any more you want to tell.
No, that's pretty much it. Because in some sense, if you've ever seen a movie in which a guy gets out of prison and tries to reestablish his life, you kind of saw where this one was going to.
Not just that, but here's the main problem with the movie. British crime films, at this point, you're either going to be like The Long Good Friday.
Yes.
Or you're going to be like a Guy Ritchie film.
Yes.
And this is probably the worst of both to me.
Oh, no.
I was really, really not a fan of this.
Yeah, I it's not the worst for me, but this trailer, I made the mistake of watching the trailer. And it sold me a gangster movie. Like, this guy he's gonna get out, he's gonna have the situation happen, and he's just gonna John Wick his way through the rest of this movie. I mean, even the poster is, the tagline is Fury Unleashed, and almost all of the action from the trailer is either in the first few minutes establishing the thing, or in the last third, and even then, there's like large gaps where it's family drama. So I was expecting a gangster flick, and I got what was, I think, meant to be like a flawed or tragic hero story.
Yeah, that is a lot of the gist of it. This film does not break any barriers. It doesn't reinvent the wheel. And you are right. A lot of it is this guy trying to go straight and trying to fight back against the system that wants to pull him back into the underworld. But what got me is that this is the primary plot. And then the last fourth of the film, it goes up to 11.
Yeah.
With like no juxtaposition. It's like, oh, okay. Wow, that was extreme. You spent this whole time being calm and then all of a sudden just jolted
right
for the ending.
I mean, you can see where he's supposed to be trying to get past that sort of thing. But within his second day back at the pub that he and his brother own, he goes from like, look, you guys owe me some money. You've got a tab. You're not supposed to have it. To walking back, getting a hammer and just pounding these
smashing
two guys
in the
middle
in
the of the
face.
Pub. Right. And okay, we get it. He's a violent guy. He's got kind of a hair trigger. But then I kept waiting for that sort of thing to keep happening through the movie.
Right, and it didn't.
No.
That is very true.
Well, they probably ran up the budget with the CG gore.
Yeah. when it's brutal, but not quite, I think, in the way I expected. And there's no elegance to the violence in this. I made the passing comment about John Wick earlier, but there's no elegance. There's no, this is just a big dude who pounds on people because that's how he resolves his issues. And so it's not even cool to look at. Like, the fights are not, they're kind of realistic in that they just, a couple of guys hit each other a few times and that's pretty much the end of the deal. You know, there's no artistry to the fighting. It doesn't feel choreographed. Real maybe isn't right, but it's that kind of thing, which also means it's not super exciting to watch.
This whole movie kind of depends on you not watching the trailer, because I made that mistake as well.
Yeah.
And if you saw the trailer thinking this is going to be an action flick, it is not. The violence is just there because that's his life. His life is violent. It's one of crime, but it's not action at all. And I'm really struggling to come up with positives that I've had for this movie other than the violence was realistic. And then at the same time, it's full of CG gore.
Right.
I don't know. I was really not liking this.
If there's a good thing I can say, just for me, from a technical standpoint, the cinematography is really good. The opening scene with his brother at night, that all looks really great. You know, it's shot well enough. Mm-hmm. It looks good. It's never like, oh my God, this thing looks cheap or anything like that. Subtitles would have been handy,
certain
I think,
parts,
at times.
Because yeah.
When these guys really get going, I'm like, wait, just slow down. I got to get my, I don't even have a dictionary for the stuff you guys are saying.
I had no idea what a grasser was
Me
the
either.
Entire film until the very end. So it's like, he's a grasser. No, he's not. It's like, what's a grasser? There's something about, like, drugs or something.
I don't, what is the thing?
That is apparently bad.
Right. You know, you joked earlier about what you paint the pub, because there's that montage where they try to clean up the pub and make it look classier and get a better clientele, which works out as well as everything else. But it's called the Green Man Pub. And I'm like, I bet that's important because they spent time to show us that sign. So I was trying to figure out, first of all, there's like a million places called Green Man Pub in the UK.
There is.
And it's because it's, I don't remember the origin because I had to look it up because I was curious. The Green Man, I guess, is like a sign of rebirth. Mm. And so it's often depicted in sculptures or signs as a face surrounded by or made from leaves. And
yeah, he's a man of the forest.
Right. And he's experiencing this rebirth. He's trying to restart his life, right? So it's not kind of even really subtle if you know what the mythology is. So again, it happens a lot, but he always falls back what he's been before. You know, in a lot of movies like this, they try to show you that this guy is really a good guy. He just had some terrible things happen and things didn't go right. This guy, there's never a point where you're like, this is a good guy. He's always a bad guy. He's just not as bad sometimes. Like when he's hanging out with his buddy and, you know, he goes to meet his buddy because he needs to hit him up for money. Sure, great. You know, it's just a guy hanging out with his friend. And then he and his buddy get back into what they were doing because he needs him for just this one more favor and whatever else.
Well, his friend wanted to go into it before. He was like, no, I don't want to stay out of this. And he's like, all right, fine.
Honestly, all I could think of was Frozone and Mr. Incredible in The Incredibles sitting in the car.
That's so true. That
same sort of thing. No, man, you really shouldn't do this. What else are we, you know, I don't know. I think I could see what the movie kept trying to do, and it's not their fault. It's not the movie's fault the trailer lies, because, I mean, trailers lie. That's how that works.
They do.
But even without that, the movie doesn't, I think you said earlier, it just doesn't break a lot of ground, right? Like, I mean, I know there's no movie if it happens, but I kind of want to see one of these movies where the little brother shows up and he's like, hey, I'm in trouble, and the older brother's like, yeah, tough, see ya.
The thing is, like, I almost feel like that shouldn't be a complaint against a movie that it doesn't break new ground.
Sure.
But unfortunately, because we've seen so many movies, it just needs to do a little more, and this one definitely did not.
It needs to give us something. I mean, you and I literally have even talked about this in some of the horror movies. It something has to be, there has to be a hook of some kind. Maybe the action's really great. Okay, cool. Or maybe I really am into the story, or I'm really into seeing this guy succeed and be redeemed, and I'm not really into that one either.
I think the hook with this one was we found a guy who's a mix of Gordon Ramsay and Vinny Jones.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
I think this movie did try to do that. I think, you know, a good chunk of the movie was this guy trying to redeem himself. Sure. Like, there's a point where he is thinking of robbing this pawn shop and then decides not to.
Right.
He tries to get the money other ways other than crime, but he just can't. And that would be fine, except for the ending, which just, it's like all that redemptive stuff just in a second is like, nope, inside he's just an evil, horrifying bastard.
Right.
And it's just like, well, what was all this redemption through the majority of the movie?
Yeah, because they, I don't know if this is super spoilery, but there's a bit where he's talking to a character about his relationship with the quote love of his life. And then the character talks about, yeah, but then you did this. So it's not even, I mean, the movie goes out of the way to tell you how bad a guy this is. Like,
he even says it.
Yeah. I mean, he tries. And I think maybe if in some sense, like the fights, it makes it almost kind of realistic. He makes these attempts, but he just fails. It just doesn't work. Or he gets reminded, yeah, you've never been a good guy. You're not going to be a good guy now. I don't know. It.
Just a sigh.
See how it's a struggle to talk about this movie? You explained the origin of Green Men, and I thought that was way more fascinating than the last 90 minutes I saw watching this movie.
Well, yeah, that's just, I'm like, okay, so by throwing that in, we see what you're shooting for, right? It's a rebirth. He's going to be, oh, and none of it's going to work. Well, then why am I watching this?
Just never makes the mark.
Why am I watching this if the end is as ugly as everything else? I don't know.
Well, the thing about the ending, too, is that the ending feels like it has nothing to do with everything up to that point. It kind of comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of an establishment as to what happens, but it's like, not really.
But he laid the groundwork for that when
but like in one scene, but then it's not part of the main plot whatsoever.
No, but that's just it. It's just another thing where everything he does backfires. And maybe that was what they were shooting for. I don't know. But every time he tries to do something, it doesn't work.
That's what the movie's like.
Yeah. I mean, everything is connected. There's all these things where it all... This feels like it should have been a great movie. Like, all of the stuff could be there for it, and it just doesn't make it. And it's pretty much what happens with this guy.
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about Roy. That's the character. How did you feel about his relationship with his daughter? Because that's the secondary plot, is him trying to regain a new relationship with his daughter and his now grandson.
There is a scene with them near the end of the film that I would say is the only scene that I really genuinely liked. It was a really nice kind of heart-to-heart. Actually, no, it's more like near the middle of the movie.
Is it the diaper scene where she's changing the diaper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it just felt like another thing that they didn't fully commit to it, and I just didn't really care that much. I thought the daughter was a good actress, the girl who played her, but...
Oh, yeah.
Izuka Hoyle.
Aside from that, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep coming back to the ending, because it's like, it felt like they had time to develop, but then they're like, oh crap, we have like the last half hour and then we have to conclude. All right, let's wrap this up. And, you know, she has this massive emotional reaction at the end where it's just like, but you've only seen him like once in, you know, however many years this has been. Why would you be responding with this much emotion over this guy? You barely know him.
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that too. I mean, I get it. Part of it is the moment, but I don't know. It almost, and this is probably me reading too much into it, it almost suggested that she actually had a lot more feeling than she was willing to let on. But okay, even if that's true, and it reaches the end of the movie, and last I knew, his buddy was there in the car.
He was.
And then I'm like, wait, what happened to him?
Same thing.
Well, I assumed, but it's not like I saw it for sure.
That is true.
All I kept thinking was, if what I think happened just happened, you're a terrible guy.
Yes.
You just ruined things for everyone. And I don't want you to be happy now. I don't know. I really wanted to like this movie, but it's the sigh again. I don't know where else to go.
I like the accents.
Oh, yeah. I can listen to them all day.
I like, you know, the Cockney style. So we're going to have a tussle. you know, that type of stuff.
And that's Eddie Franks, the character. I mixed him up. Anyway, continue.
I have nothing left to say about this other than final thoughts, so.
Then go ahead into final thoughts. Go ahead, Adrian.
Technically speaking, everything's fine. It's filmed well. It's shot competently. The acting's pretty decent, especially from the main character.
Yep.
But it's a shame that not only does it not go an extra mile to be its own thing, it is just very, very mundane at doing what it does throughout the film. There's a point where the main conflict of the movie ends. It gets resolved. And there's 20 minutes left of the movie. It could not go slower for me. I really wanted to like this because I like British crime movies. But Dead Man's Shoes, this is not. I give this 1.5.
Oh, wow.
Bob Hoskins impressions I was doing while watching the movie out of 5.
And you, Luane?
I don't think I disliked it as much as Adrian, but because I kept wanting it to be better, and that's probably not the fairest way to evaluate it, but it, like Adrian said, it hit all the marks. It did all the things it was supposed to do. It looked good. The acting's fine. I could listen to those guys talk all day. I just didn't think I was going to. But in the end, it kind of falls flat, and that's not what you want in a movie like this. I want to care whether or not this guy changes. And after a while, I'm like, you're just a garbage human, and I don't care if you change. I feel bad for your daughter. I like her. You know, what little of her we get, the actress is fine. Her character is fine. I think she's fairly believable. I wanted to like that. I kind of wanted that to succeed, but if it didn't, again, sigh. So I'd give it 2.5 out of 5 attempts at redemption.
I'm, you know, gonna reiterate a lot of what you guys said. You know, as I said in the beginning, it is not revolutionary in regards to its subject matter, in regards to how it presents itself. And I did like Craig Fairbrass as Eddie Franks. I think he did a good job with what he was given. But it's that ending that just gets me. It's like you have this entire movie as this long journey to redemption. And then the ending, it's like, it feels like a producer went in. It's like, you do know this is supposed to be a crime film, right? And so they're like, well, I guess we gotta put all the crime and all the action and all of that right into the end. And it feels very disjointed and disingenuous to the rest of the film. And so, and then it just ends. And it's just like, that was rather unfulfilling. And then on top of that, I've watched a lot of murder shows, like true crime, where I'm like, okay, you did this wrong. And this wrong, they gonna catch you, which I found funny. But yeah, it is disappointing for what it is trying to do. If they just kept with the redemption journey, I think they would have done a better job. But the sort of twisty nature of the end, first of all, it adds a lot of new content in regards to characterization, and then doesn't develop it, and then it just ends. So I am going to give it 2 hammers to the face out of 5. And what is the best weapon to smash somebody in the face? I mean, a hammer, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I mean, you have a whole bunch of bottles behind the bar, but that stuff's expensive.
Sure. I don't know. I mean, I think a short bat probably does the job.
That's true. And then you can do a Harley Quinn impression.
Yeah, there's that.
Always bringing it back to Batman. Back to Batman. Canon, yep. Queen right here.
Okay.